From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. President Barack Obama wants to throw a $75 billion lifeline to homeowners in an attempt to stem the tide of foreclosures. Here is the president speaking at the launch of the Homeowner Affordability and Stability Plan in Arizona yesterday.
By making these investments in foreclosure prevention today, we will save ourselves the costs of foreclosure tomorrow. Costs that are borne not just by families with troubled loans, but by their neighbors and communities and by our economy as a whole.
In the meantime, Forbes.com has put together a list of the emptiest cities in America, all as a result of the credit crisis. Joining me now is Zach O'Malley-Greenberg. He is the reporter behind the Forbes.com article. Zach, welcome.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Which cities are in the top five of America's emptiest cities, Zach?
Well, the top five, the fifth is Dayton, fourth is Greensboro, third is Atlanta, second is Detroit, and first is Las Vegas, all on there for kind of different root causes. But, you know, the situation is getting a little more dire as more jobs kind of go to the wayside.
Let's talk about what those causes are, because Las Vegas was just recently known as the fastest growing city in America. And I know personally that there's been a great deal of building there, a lot of it coming from California and other places. But what's behind this, particularly as it relates to Las Vegas and Detroit?
Sure. Well, Tony, what we have here is, you know, two really different situations, although it looks the same on the surface because they both have a lot of vacancies, both in rental and homeowners. The fact is that it's due to two really different root causes. With Vegas, you know, it was sort of burgeoning into this shimmering urban carnival of a city, and you know, lots of Californians building second homes there, buying condos in high rises. But Detroit has had problems for it for a long, long time, and the downturn really kind of hit both of them in different ways. So with Vegas, it was more of a matter of overcapacity. There were all these new condos going up, all these second homes out in the suburbs, and suddenly the market dried up, and you know, people had to sell their second homes and stopped renting in Vegas. Then in New York, in Detroit, what happened was, you know, Detroit has been hemorrhaging jobs for decades, and it's certainly not getting any better. You see in the news with everything going on with the car companies. You know, it's not like things are getting better, not like people are getting more money to rent more houses and buy more houses there. So, you know, that's kind of been the problem in Detroit for a lot longer.
Well, you mentioned rentals. That was going to be my next question, because the issue isn't only with buying, it's also with rentals. What's happening there?
Sure. I mean, again, you know, with rentals, especially in places like Vegas, there was an overcapacity, and a lot of developers started building giant residential towers in the thoughts that the boom would continue. You know, the rental market really dried up even quicker.
What did you find on the flip side? We know about the cities now that are the emptiest. What about those that are doing well in terms of their housing?
Sure. Well, there are a few bright spots. Boston and New York are doing pretty well. Actually, the city with the best stats in this is Honolulu. The vacancy rate is 5.8% for homes, but only 0.5% for rentals.
How did you come to those conclusions? How did you compile these statistics?
Well, our rankings were based on the data released on February 3rd by the Census Bureau, and that's the fourth quarter vacancy data. Basically, we took rental vacancies and homeowner vacancy rates, and we put them together, and we ranked, I think it was out of 75 or 80 of the what's called metropolitan statistical areas, or, you know, in layman's terms, you know, just metro areas. And we combined the rental with the homeowner vacancy rate, put it together, and that's how we came up with our rankings.
Zach, thank you very much for the information. It's helpful.
Thanks so much, Tony.
That was Zach O'Malley-Greenberg. He is a reporter with Forbes.com and wrote the article on America's emptiest cities. As we heard, Atlanta came in at number 3 on the list of emptiest cities. Joining me now to talk about this is Shirley Simmons. She's associate broker at REMAX Executive based in Atlanta, Georgia. Shirley, welcome.
Thank you.
So Atlanta comes in at number 3 on the list. From your experience, what's happening to the housing market in your city?
Well, the housing market has been heavily impacted because too many people who could not afford properties were given loans for them. They were given loans without having to provide any down payment. so their income was not necessarily in line with the ability to repay those loans.
What's happening to the housing stock then? Is it, are these homes just sitting there vacant? Are they going to, are they rotting, or what's going on?
They are sitting vacant. In many cases, we have brand new construction that is sitting vacant because the builders overbuilt. They are sitting empty, waiting on possibly someone to come and purchase, or builders and owners are beginning to offer the lease option as a possibility for occupying the vacant homes.
Is this happening all across, is it happening across all neighborhoods and price points?
I would say yes.
What lengths, Shirley, are people going to avoid paying large monthly house bills there?
They are pooling their resources. Families are beginning to move in with each other. They are leasing instead of trying to sell because the period of time that homes are staying on the market has probably doubled over the last 12 months.
And how long is that period now?
I would say anywhere from 9 to 12 months.
So you put a home on the market today, you can expect not to be able to move it for at least maybe a year.
That's correct. And part of the reason for that is because there are so many bank-owned properties, and those properties are priced far less than the homes who are being which are being sold by an individual owner.
You know, oftentimes, Shirley, investors will clean up in a down economy by buying property low and selling that property high. But that's not happening, is it?
Not as much as in times past. And one of the reasons for that is because there was a moratorium put on the number of loans that any individual can get. That is being changed, as I understand it. But right now, the limit is 4 mortgages per individual.
So take your business, for example. Are you finding that there is not much to do? Does your phone not ring? Do you not get emails? Are you not showing homes and having open houses? Or what's it like?
Well, I can say that over the last 4 weeks, my business has begun to pick up to the level that I'm used to in previous years. However, the first 6 months of 2008, I did not sell one home. And I normally sell at least 25 to 30 homes every year. So my business did not even begin to pick up until June of 2008. And all of the reasons for it include what we've just mentioned. There was too much building. People could not get financing. The financing has picked up somewhat, and my phone is beginning to ring now from people who are more confident that they will have jobs and that they will have the opportunity to purchase. Additionally, those people who are in the market are typically first-time home buyers, which is a shift in my market because I'm typically selling to the move-up buyer.
Are you finding that the banks are trying to make it easier for first-time home buyers in particular, as well as others, by relaxing some of the charges or fees or interest rates being charged to get into a loan?
The requirements for getting a loan are not being relaxed because that was the problem that is the situation that has gotten us into the current status of the home industry. What I am seeing is that the low interest rates are encouraging people to get out and buy.
What about people who are already in their homes in the Atlanta area who perhaps would want to refinance to get a lower interest rate, perhaps to take whatever equity out of their home that there is, if there is any equity left given the current downturn?
People who have many years of equity or were able to purchase at a lower level and who have significant equity can probably refinance very easily. However, if a person has only been in their home for a short period of time, maybe 1 to 2 years, the situation is bleak because the values have not increased.
What are you telling people? What would you advise people as we end this conversation? And I appreciate your coming on, Shirley. The information is helpful. What would you advise people to do who are in the housing market now? How should they go about trying to identify the property that is going to sustain value, and how should they go about trying to acquire the appropriate loan and financing? And I need you to answer kind of briefly for me.
The first key would be to select a realtor who is professional and can provide resources and advice that will enable them to make sound decisions in their purchase.
And in terms of getting the financing?
The financing, they should consult with reputable firms, those that they have heard of before. And the most beneficial way to do that is to seek the advice of a realtor.
All right. I appreciate it very much, Shirley. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Shirley Simmons. She is associate broker at RE/MAX Executive in Atlanta, Georgia.